I have read in the Bible that God so loves sinners that he let his son die in their place. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
I'm preparing today for a journey that will lead me to heaven's bright shore, and my heart beats with anticipation when I think of the blessings in store. The gates to that city will open, and the clear deed I shall behold. Heaven's choir will sing out my welcome as I walk down the streets of pure gold.
Praise the Lord,
I
am
going home to that beautiful home of the soul.
There to live through the ages.
Praise the Lord, I'm going home. All I have that I will leave them behind me, I know, for I'll never again have need of them. In that place I'm preparing to go, the time for my leaving is nearing. Soon the hillsides of heaven I'll roam, safe with Jesus my journey completed. Praise the Lord, I'm going home.
Praise the Lord, I am
going home to that beautiful home of the soul.
There to live through the ages.
Praise the Lord, I'm going home.
Praise the Lord,
I
am going
home to that beautiful home of the soul.
There to live
with my Lord,
my
aged soul. Praise the Lord, I'm going home.
Hello, today, once again, we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, that being verses 10 through 17. And here in this passage, the Word of God says this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of life. And as we have read thy word and bring this message today, I pray that you will speak to me and speak through me and help me to say every word that needs to be said. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will do that which needs to be done in the heart and in the life of every listener. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, I want to bring the 19th part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now here, in these various chapters of the book of Ephesians, we find that the Apostle Paul deals with the believer a little different. Here in chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then in chapter number 6, we have the believer's warfare. And here in chapter 6, in verses 10 through 20, we have two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now, the Apostle Paul, in closing this lofty epistle, he condescends to a battlefield. And the reason that he does this is because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. The Christian is a soldier in God Almighty's army. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians chapter number 6. Now in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with verses 10 through 16 and with some of verse number 17. For when we went off the air last week, we had just began to deal with the fifth piece of armor that Paul sets before us here in this passage of Scripture. And of course, this piece of armor is presented to us in the first part of verse number 17. Now the first piece of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage is the girdle of truth. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The third piece is the shoes of the gospel of peace. The fourth piece is the shield of faith. And then the fifth piece is the helmet of salvation. Here in the first part of verse number 17, Paul says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now on the broadcast last week, I stated that there were two things that I wanted to draw to the attention of our listeners while dealing with the helmet of salvation. Number one, the helmet is that piece of armor that is worn on the head for security. Security is associated with the helmet. And when Paul speaks here of the helmet of salvation, he is having reference to the knowledge or assurance of salvation. Most certainly he is. Now, I well realize that we are living in a day when many people do not believe that an individual can have assurance of salvation. Many people do not believe that an individual can know for sure that they have been saved by the grace of God. But listen to me, my friend. The Word of God declares that this salvation that God has provided in His Son, Jesus Christ, is a no-so, no-so salvation. Most certainly this is so. Now in the book of 1 John chapter 5, and in verse number 13, the Word of God says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Now listen, my friend, the word know is used 27 times in the book of 1 John. And the often usage of this word in the book of 1 John tells us that this is an epistle of knowledge, and an epistle of knowledge divinely given. Therefore, it is true and final. True and final. Not only that, but the expression "we know," the expression "we know" is used 7 times in chapter number 5 alone. Now this word translated "know" in 1 John 5:13 is a word which suggests fullness of knowledge, or to know perfectly beyond the pre-adventure of a doubt. Now let me say that once again. The word "know" that is used in 1 John 5:13 is a word which suggests fullness of knowledge, or to know perfectly beyond the pre-adventure of a doubt. And my friend, this tells us that saving faith in Jesus Christ, gives the believer assurance. My friend, the Christian possesses a knowing faith, because Christianity is not just a bunch of vague thoughts and vain speculations. Christianity has to do with certainties. Certainties. My friend, Christians can be certain about their past sins, about their present sufficiency, and about their prospective security. Most certainly this is what the Word of God teaches. My friend, if you are listening to this broadcast today, and you do not know that you are saved, just as good as you know your name. If you do not know that you are saved, just as good as you know that you are breathing. If you do not know that you are saved, just as good as you know the color of your own eyes. My friend, it's high time to do something about it. Most certainly this is so. If I was personally in your presence right now, wherever you are, if I ask you the question, "Are you saved? Are you saved?" Could you look me straight in the eyes and say, "Yes, preacher, I know that I am saved"? Could you do that? Or instead, are you one that would look down at the floor and say, "I think so," or "I hope so," or "maybe so"? What about it? What about it? My friend, if you do not know for sure that you are saved, I would hate to die in your condition. I would hate to die in your condition. You're listening to one preacher today that knows for sure that he's been saved by the grace of God. Now I know someone might say, "Preacher, you sound mighty sure that you are saved." Yes, I sound mighty sure, because I am sure. I am sure that the Lord has saved my soul. Most certainly I am. My friend, I know that I am saved. And when you know that 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 you are saved, then you'll know how I know that 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 I am saved. So we find here that the Apostle Paul speaks of the helmet of salvation. And my friend, when he speaks here of the helmet of salvation, one thing he is having reference to is the knowledge or the assurance of salvation. Listen to me, my friend. A soldier is useless unless he knows what side he is on. A soldier who doesn't know what side he is on is in a terrible condition. And my friend, you that are listening to this broadcast today, you will be useless in the hour of battle unless you know what side you are on. You will be useless in the hour of battle unless you know that you've been saved by the grace of God. Thus, we see the importance of the helmet of salvation. The second thing that I want to say and draw to the attention of our listeners while dealing with the helmet of salvation is this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse number 8, the Word of God says this, "But let us who are of the day be sober." And of course this is having reference to those that's been saved by the grace of God. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Now here in verse number 8, we find that Paul uses the words helmet and salvation, just as is found in Ephesians 6:17. But here in verse number 8, Paul uses another word also. Now I want you to notice this very carefully. And that is the word hope. Here in verse 8, Paul says, "And for an helmet, the hope of salvation." Now listen, my friend, some people, when they read the word hope that Paul uses in connection with salvation, as is found here in verse number 8, they get confused. But the confusion concerning this matter will vanish away when one realizes that salvation, as presented in the Word of God, is in three tenses. Three tenses. This is clearly set before us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 10. In that particular verse, the Word of God says, "Who delivered us," that's past tense, "who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver," that's present tense, "in whom we trust that he will yet deliver," that's future tense. So here we find that salvation is presented in three tenses. Here in 2 Corinthians 1:10, here we find salvation from past guilt, salvation through present grace, salvation in future glory. That's what the Word of God is speaking of here in this passage of Scripture. When it comes to the believer, we find that the Lord has lifted them out from the penalty of sin. He lifts them up from the power of sin, and He's coming again to take them from the presence of sin. Salvation, as presented in the Word of God, is in three tenses. And when Paul uses the word hope in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse number 8, he is speaking of salvation in its fullest. And of course, this has reference to the time that the Lord Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the saints shall meet him in the air. And the saints of God will be like him, for they at that time will see him as he is. According to 1 John 3:2. So we find that hope is associated with the helmet of salvation. And my friend, this involves and has reference to the saints' expectation and anticipation of good things to come. Good things to come. Listen to me, my friend. Many times the devil will try to cause that Christian to have a feeling of hopelessness. Most certainly this is so. Many times Satan tries to deafen the Christian's spirit. But my friend, the Christian is supposed to exercise hope while fighting the good fight of faith. My friend, we as Christians are to remember how the last chapter in the book reads. And when we do, we can fight, knowing the battle will soon be over. We are to remember how the last chapter in the book reads. And when we do, we can fight knowing how it's all going to come out. And my friend, this is an anchor for our thinking. This is an anchor for our thinking. And this is included here when Paul speaks of the helmet of salvation. Now, having thus far dealt with the first five pieces of armor that Paul speaks of here in this passage of Scripture, I want to move on and begin dealing with the sixth piece of armor. And this particular piece of armor is spoken of in the last part of verse number 17. Now remember, the first piece of armor that Paul speaks of in this passage is the girdle of truth. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The third piece is the shoes of the gospel of peace. The fourth piece is the shield of faith. The fifth piece is the helmet of salvation. And then the sixth piece is the sword of the Spirit. Notice closely what the Word of God says in the last part of verse number 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, let me say this. Why is this particular piece of armor mentioned so late in this passage of Scripture? Why is this particular piece of armor mentioned so late in this list here in Ephesians chapter number 6? I believe there are two reasons why that this piece of armor is mentioned so late. Number one, this piece of armor is mentioned so late because all of these other things that Paul speaks of earlier in this passage of Scripture are first necessary. They are first necessary to make a right use of the sword, which is the Word of God. Number two, this particular piece of armor is mentioned so late in this passage of Scripture, for this tells us that no matter how far the believer advances in this life, they still need the sword, which is the Word of God. It matters not how many years that you have been saved. It matters not how many hours that you pray per day. My friend, as you fight the good fight of faith as a Christian soldier, you will never get to the place where you do not need the sword, which is the Word of God. In Matthew chapter number 4, we find that Jesus Christ wielded the sword. Three times in that passage of Scripture, Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Christ wielded the sword, as recorded in that particular chapter. And my friend, we as Christian soldiers need to do the same and be good swordsmen in the service of the Lord. Now that's as far as we're going today with a message entitled, "Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle?" But in closing today, I want to say this. If you are listening to this broadcast today, and you've been saved, my friend, you are a soldier in God Almighty's army. And as you fight the good fight of faith, remember how the last chapter in the book reads, and exercise hope, knowing that the conflict will soon be over. As you fight the good fight of faith, remember how the last chapter in the book reads, and exercise hope as you live in the anticipation and expectation of the Lord's return. Then I also want to say this. As you listen to this broadcast today, are you one that cannot say for sure that you are saved? Are you one that cannot say, "Yes, preacher, I know that I am saved"? If you are one of these, my friend, it's high time to do something about it. If you're listening to this broadcast today, and you have never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you need to be saved today before it is too late. I've asked you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you, and He will, and you'll know it. Thank you.